we have to look back briefly at everything that's taken place in the Serie A season. And joining us on the show today is a man that really needs no introduction. He is a voice, an English voice out there in Italy, covering all things Italian football. He is also a man from Calcio and Coffee himself. It is Mr. Richard Wiltleman joining me on the show today, soccer commentator and English journalist for Serie A, covering all things Italian football. Richard, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. How are you doing today?
Wonderful, wonderful, mate. Yeah, great to be on.
It's a pleasure to have you back, and it's been a pleasure to have you during an Italian football season that maybe hasn't had many surprises when it comes to the top two, but in general down the league, there's been plenty of twists and tails in this season. When you look at the Milan clubs especially, they've been all over the place this year. It's been difficult to follow them.
Well, exactly. Obviously, as you said, Juventus ran away with the title. Napoli hung on for a while, but then faded, but got second place. But then the chase for third went right down to the wire. Milan had a terrible start to the season. The second half of the season, they were absolutely amazing, turned it around completely, and just edged out Fiorentina, who I felt were probably the team of the year. They played the most exciting football, along with Udinese had put in there. But it's Fiorentina, they were wonderful to watch. And they also took advantage of the fact that Inter had a dreadful season. They've been using a little bit about the excuses of injuries, but really, you've got to look at the quality in the Inter side. They need a major rebuilding program throughout the summer. And then, of course, the two Roman clubs, they're flatter to deceive, especially Roma. A lot was expected of them, expected to be up in the top two, maybe top three, instead of which they're now battling with Lazio for the final European place in the Coppa Italia final this weekend.
It's as you say, there was so much expected of Roma this year. They had obviously the problems with
They're now battling with Lazio for the final European place in the Coppa Italia final this weekend.
It's as you say, there was so much expected of Roma this year. They had obviously the problems with Zdeněk Zeman, who didn't last the full year. But if you're Roma looking ahead, what have you learnt from this season? Maybe not to rely too much on the youngsters like Destro. What's been the main learning point for Roma this year?
Well, I think now is the time to end the experiments. They had the Luis Enrique experiment, where he tried to bring in the Barcelona style of play, which was never going to work in Italy, where counter-attacking football will always overcome that. And then they turned to back to the old guard, Zdeněk Zeman, who probably his time had come and gone. When he was first at Rome, he didn't win anything either. This time he played some exciting football. And the positive from the Zeman period was that the youngsters did get the opportunity. So next season they will be hardened for a new campaign. So for Roma, they can look forward with something in a way of positivity about what will happen for the future. But of course, they need to bring in a coach that can bring through these young players. And that's what's missing from Roma at the moment.
They've got great grounding for the future, and they've really had two of the better players in Serie A this season as well. When you look at the years that Eric Lamela and Francesco Totti have, you can't maybe start building a side around Totti again, but can they afford to start building a side around Eric Lamela?
Well, definitely. He's very inconsistent. That's the problem with Lamela, but he's such a young player as well. But 15 goals for the season, considering he scored 5 last season, is a wonderful return. But having said that about Totti, it's not you can build a team around Francesco Totti, because he as a player who this season has brought the young players through. They have looked to him in the sense that he has led from the front, and they've seen this legendary player going out, giving his all for every match, and they've stepped up. So those young players have learned from him, and the fact that now Totti, 37 in September, still has a lot to offer, and I wouldn't rule him out from having another very good season. But definitely those younger players, Pjanic, Lamela, Destro, Marquinhos, they can all come through next season. And as I said before, if they have a coach who can gel the team, Roma can be up there battling with certainly with Juventus for the title.
Is there any thought that Daniele De Rossi, there was rumours of him potentially going to Manchester City last August. Are there any thoughts that he might not be in Rome next season?
No, I think that boat has sailed. He'll be 30 in the summer, and I think that opportunity's gone. With Roberto Mancini wanted to take him to Manchester City. Mancini's no longer at Manchester City, so that route is finished. Real Madrid aren't looking as a midfielder, a holding midfielder. Paris Saint-Germain, similar situation. I think De Rossi, as expected, will remain in Rome until his playing career is finished. All Daniele De Rossi needs is a coach that believes in him and will pick him on a regular basis.
What about as well, you mentioned a team that have had a great season and being Udinese. They've had very much, I personally think, a similar season to AC Milan in that they were struggling so early on and have turned it around in those final eight games or so. Unprecedented winning streak to get them into the Europa League. How impressed have you been by their finish and how well they've done in the last few games of the season?
Well, amazing finish. They have been helped slightly by the fixture list, helped them out somewhat. Mm-hmm. But you have to take advantage of that. The problem with Udinese every season is that they have such a slow start because they change their team every summer and they bring in new players, young players, and it takes them time to adapt to Italian football. And we saw at the turn of the year, Udinese, a mass improvement. As with Milan, made a lot of changes as well. And it takes players at least 3-4 months to adapt to a new club, to a new type of football. So I think if Udinese can hold on to some of their players this summer, they'll be up there again, battling for top 4 or 5 place. All depends as well if Antonio Di Natale decides to play on next season. Again, 23 goals again this season. It's amazing the number of goals he scores and the wonderful goals. I think he scored goal of the season this year against Kiev. A volleyed shot, an angled volley shot, was absolutely amazing. And again, when we look at Italian football, a lot of the senior players are bringing the youngsters through. Muriel, who is a very exciting young striker, had seen what Di Natale has done, and he's answered the call, and he's had a wonderful season as well. So also we've seen with Milan the return of Balotelli, although he's not an old player, he is experienced, and he's brought through the likes of Niang and El Shaarawy. He's had a wonderful breakthrough season as well. So there's plenty to be positive about for Italian football for next season. Done at Napoli, Cavani may not stay, but Insigne, he's made inroads as well and had a very good campaign.
Is Luis Muriel at Udinese, is he ready to take on the mantle from Di Natale just yet? He's only 22, but if Di Natale hangs up his boots, is he ready for that pressure at Udinese, do you think?
Well, I think at Udinese that there is no pressure. That's a great thing about Udinese in that sense. For them, qualifying for the Europa League is like being in the Champions League. They have been in the Champions League. They were in there last season. And there is no pressure really on the players in that sense, the same pressure you'd get if they moved to a big club, big city club, Juve, Milan, Inter, for example. So I think if he's allowed to develop at Udinese, he can become a sort of a player similar to Sanchez. By the time he gets to about 23, the big clubs will be looking at him and then he'll move on. But that's the story of Udinese. And no doubt they're at this very moment unearthing another gem somewhere around the world.
Now, just at the bottom of some of the table, quickly, how much of a loss is it to Serie A to see a side that generally across the rest of Europe is loved? I know there's plenty of Palermo fans in England who like them partly just because of the pink kit. But how much of a loss is Palermo to Serie A, a side that we've almost begun to associate now with quality in Serie A over the last decade?
Well, yes. When you look at Palermo, that's still a big name in Italian football. You know, they did represent Sicily, the south, which football hotbed. They did produce exciting football at times, but they're one of those teams that never had any consistency. Changing coaches, five, six changes of coaches throughout the season didn't help. Then a whole change of players, a whole flux of players coming in on loan. And when you bring in loan players, do they really commit to the club that much? So it was a major disaster for Palermo to go down, but hopefully it will be a springboard, such as Torino last season, to bounce back next season from Serie B with a stronger foundations, with young players, and so they can rebuild again in Serie A. But having said that, they've been superseded by Catania, who, I know we were talking about how further down the league, surprising teams. Catania have had an amazing season, playing wonderful football, fast-flowing, attacking football. So that's a positive down there in Sicily, but obviously not for the Palermo fans. But certainly, if you look at who's coming up, you've got the return of Verona, who've got a big fan base and a club with a big history. Sassuolo, which is the other end of the scale, they have an average gate of 4,000 fans. And then after that, you've got either Livorno, Brescia, Empoli, Novara. So when I look at things, I would love to see Italian football return to the 18-team league. I think 20 teams is too much. You have too many teams that are very mediocre at the lower level, like Pescara. It's not their fault. But if it returns to 18-team league, I think Serie A would be much more competitive.
Do you think that would benefit Serie A in Europe as well? Just taking those extra few games off in the season would help in terms of spreading that workload out and give the likes of Juventus, Napoli and Milan maybe next year, in theory, a better chance at Champions League success?
Yes, that's a great point. Yes, absolutely. It would take away a lot of the midweek games through the winter, which really eats into the fitness of the players in Italy. It's not something Italian footballers are that used to, the midweek matches. They're tuned in to playing weekend, training through the week, building again for the following week. Obviously, at the top clubs, when you're playing in Europe, you have big squads, so you can rotate your players. But what I'm talking about is the teams in the mid-table to the lower table, to increase their quality. I think an 18-club league would help right across the board as well. It helped the national team as well, and it would just give Italian football a big lift. But honestly, I can't see it happening, not with the TV influence where television wants to have matches on basically every night, and also spreading them across the weekends as well and the midweek fixtures. So TV wins out in the end, to the detriment of Italian football somewhat.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do follow a sport that is dictated by television and money, Richard. But when we look at this season, a number of the players' names that you mentioned earlier on in this quick chat were the youngsters in Italian football coming up. And Inter Milan, for instance, have taken this new kind of, we're going to bring through the young players philosophy to building back up Inter to the great side that they were over the last few years or so. How important has this year been in changing that mentality in Serie A? Maybe adopting that slightly more German style of financial restraint in the league, across the league? And how beneficial will this year prove to be, do you think, in terms of the future of Serie A and ensuring that it remains one of the top leagues in Europe?
Well, first of all, the top teams have been forced into this situation. It's not something they'd want to do. Italian football has always been built around star players. But unfortunately, the star players are not coming to Italy anymore. They're going to, countries that are not superior to Italy in any way, the Premier League and in France, because of the big salaries they can command there. And they're not coming to Italian football. The only one who's come back is Balotelli. And look what's happened to poor Mario Balotelli and the terrible abuse he's had to suffer every match nearly since he's come back. So in that sense, Italian clubs have been forced into this situation. So it's a matter of looking around for these uncut gems and bringing them through. But at the same time, you know that all the clubs, they want to buy the big players, they want the big names, and if they could, if they had the financial clout, they'd be battling with the Premiership and the French, PSG anyway, and to a lesser extent in Germany, Bayern Munich, and in Spain for the top stars. So it's a difficult situation, but they've got to adapt to it. I think maybe we might see, I hate to say it, but we might see Italian football go through a lull, maybe for the next 3 or 4 years, maybe in Europe, they're not competing. at the latter stages in the European competitions. We always take the gauge from the Europa League. Look at the Europa League this season, where we had Lazio getting to the latter stages, but not to the semi-finals, which is where you really want to be. And if you look, Italy needs to look over its shoulder at the French, at Portugal, how well they're doing in Europe. Also, the Turkish League as well, the teams in the latter stages of the Champions League and the Europa League. So for Italian football, it is a worrying period, I feel.
What about in terms of the youth and those good youngsters that are coming through in Italian football this season being picked off? Do you think that's going to happen this summer as well? Are we going to see a lot of these? Because we know people like Cavani are going to be making their way, it looks like, out of Serie A. But what about the young talents that are coming through? Is that going to happen as well this season?
Well, we saw Verratti leave last season for PSG. A lot of it depends on what the Italian influence is in foreign clubs. Last season, there was a big Italian influence at Manchester City. That seems to have disappeared now, and it seems to be a Spanish influence coming in. So maybe they'll look to Spain for players, or to South America, or they'll come to Italy. Lamela's been linked with Manchester City. He's an Argentine with that Spanish influence. And of course, Paris Saint-Germain have Leonardo. He may come back and try to pick young Italian players, or young players, for example, Marquinhos, who's Brazilian. Roma just brought from nowhere and has been one of the star finds of the season. He could be maybe picked off by PSG. But at the same time, it's up to Italian clubs to say to these players and to their agents, we're building for the future. We're going to bring in new coaches. We're going to bring in a new style of play, and we're going to get into Europe, and this is where your future lies. So it's up to the clubs really to sell Italian football so that these young players don't leave.
And I tell you what, Richard, if Italian football stays as exciting as this season has been, there's been so many storylines to keep us entertained, I'd happily be up for trying to sell it to some of the younger players in Italian football to ensure that they stay and keep this league developing and growing and getting back to the pedestal that it was. Richard, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, mate. We always appreciate you taking some time out to join us here on World Football Daily. We hope you have a very good summer off. Are you going to be covering Italy during the Confederations Cup a bit?
No, I won't be doing anything with Italy. The last commentary for the season will be the Coppa Italia on Sunday. And what a match that's going to be. That you think the Champions League is big at Wembley between two German sides, just tune in to the Olympic Stadium in Rome on Sunday night when Roma and Lazio go head-to-head. It's a game of the year. I think it's a game of the lives for the capital. It's going to be incredible.
Does the Europa League place at stake, does that add anything to it? Does it need to add anything to this, having Roma against Lazio in the Stadio Olimpico for this piece of silverware?
Doesn't it need to, even the Coppa Italia doesn't need to add anything. Nothing needs to add anything to this match. But of course, for both clubs to be in Europe next season, especially for Roma, missed out on Europe last season. The new American owners, they want to push Roma to the forefront in Europe and around the world. You can do that through Europa League. You've got to be playing in that, really. For Roma to be out of Europe for another season will be a major disappointment. Less so for Lazio, who really didn't expect to be in Europe and expected to be around the fringes. So really for Roma, it's a do or die. But for both teams, it's incredible. Whichever team wins will be in heaven for the rest of their lives. Whichever team loses, it is hell for them, it really is. And that's the wonderful thing about Italian football. Just before we go, you know, it is that passion, that's one thing, the ups and downs of Italian football, but living here, breathing it every day, you feel the passion of the people, and that's why we all hope that Italian football returns to the heights that it used to be at. But I think that there'll be plenty of fireworks for the finale, the grand finale this season.
Let's hope that the fireworks remain peaceful and don't escalate as we've seen.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Richard, just quickly, a score prediction for the two big games as well, for the Coppa Italia final and, of course, for the Champions League final as well this weekend.
Well, I think the Champions League final, I think I'm going to go 3-2 Bayern Munich, which is a massive prediction. And for the Coppa Italia, 2-1 Roma.
Good man. I'm glad that you're back in Roma, at least in the Coppa Italia. Although I think most of us here at World Football Daily are going for a Dortmund Champions League win, just with our hearts, maybe not with our heads.
Yes. Well, that's it. It's sometimes the heart overrules the head. But I think both matches are going to be amazing. And I'd just like to all Serie A fans out there have a great summer, and we'll see you next season. And keep tuning in, because Serie A is going to be back to its heights.
And we hope to see it back there once again. And Richard, we'll hope to catch you later on in the summer to catch up with all the transfer business that's going on in and around Serie A this season. Richard, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, mate. Take care and have a wonderful day.
You too, always. Okay.
Cheers, Richard. Thanks for joining us. Richard Whittle there, joining us here on World Football Daily from Calcio & Coffee, English football commentator and writer covering Serie A out there in Italy. Richard, just a great lad to get on the show. Love it whenever he joins us.